how Lebanon's heavily indebted economy impacts the rest of the world, and why scent and gender don't mix. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, graphic images of self-harm will be removed from Instagram, its boss has told the BBC. The move comes after the father of a 14-year-old British teenager who took her own life in 2017 said Instagram helped kill her. Her family found she'd been viewing graphic images of self-harm on the app prior to her death. Here's Instagram CEO Adam Mosseri.
We're not looking to monetize misery. We look to connect people with the friends and the interests that they love and care about. We think that we create a lot of good in the world, but there's also risks. And we were not as focused as we should have been on the risks that came along with connecting so many people. We have allowed content related to self-harm that's admission, because people sometimes need to tell their story. So I might have an image of a scar where I say I'm 30 days clean, and that's an important way for me to share my story. That kind of content can still live on the site, but we're actually, the next change is that it won't show up in any recommendation services, so it'll be harder to find. It won't be in search, it won't be in hashtags, it won't be in recommendations. But graphic imagery, we're going to take off Instagram entirely. That's going to take some time, but we're committed to doing it.
Instagram's chief executive, Adam Mosseri. Let's do the numbers. Global stock indexes are little changed to end the week as China and Brexit still weigh on sentiment. Sony shares spiked 5% in Tokyo after announcing its first ever stock buyback program. And shares of Tata Motors, the owner of Jaguar Land Rover, posted a roughly $4 billion loss in the December quarter on slumping sales in China. It's the biggest ever quarterly loss for an Indian company. Now, this week, after 9 months of negotiation, Lebanon has a new government. The paralysis in the tiny, embattled Mediterranean country, home to at least a million Syrian refugees, has hit its economy. Lebanon ranks as the third most indebted country in the world, amounting to 150% of its GDP. The BBC's Sebastian Usher says the economy ranks highly on the list of priorities for the new government.
There is $11 billion worth of help that was promised last year that was dependent on the government being in place and making reforms. Now, the reforms have already been sort of trailed to try to cut back in the public sector, and a hope that through non-hiring people, the huge amount of money that is spent, I mean, I think it's around 40% of the actual budget, can be cut. And the aim is for a 1% cut in the deficit every year over the next 5 years.
Why does Lebanon's economic stability matter?
Well, I mean, Lebanon is a tiny country, has always played a much bigger role than you'd expect, partly because of where it is geographically. It's the closest to the West, to Europe. It's next to Syria, where the conflict has been going on, obviously, for the past 7 years. It borders Israel. So it's right in the center of all these major problems. So any element of stability that can be preserved is obviously very important. It relies on construction, it relies on tourism, it relies on the agricultural sector. All of those are suffering badly at the moment. I think we'll see a boost briefly because the government is now in place, because reforms are going to be announced. But whether that can build into anything in the long term, alleviate the situation, I think is a big question.
Sebastian Usher. Perfume is a popular present for someone you love, but gender-specific scents, not so much. More and more perfumes and soaps are so-called gender-neutral, as the BBC's Deborah Weitzman has been finding out.
Liberty London's perfume hall is a feast for all the senses.
Would you like this wrap, sir?
Just please.
Artisan fragrance bottles sparkle beneath lights. As someone who ritually douses herself in ultra-feminine floral notes, I am curious to find out about the growing shift in consumer smells, with gender-neutral fragrances becoming all the rage. Nick Gilbert is a scent expert.
Last year was around 1,900 fragrances. Around 45% of those were gender-free.
With its market value almost tripling since 2012, fragrances aimed at one and all are clearly having a moment. Jo Fairley, co-founder of the Perfume Society, believes the limitations of his and her labels came to fruition after 1934, when the world's first male-only cologne was launched from France's oldest perfume house, Caron.
Pour un homme, for a man. That was really the start of marketing fragrances specifically to men. And up till then, they didn't mind if they smelt of flowers.
Fragrance for a man or a woman from Calvin Klein.
It was this product that kicked off the whole unisex fragrance sector when it launched in 1994. CK1 was crisp, it was clean and immensely popular. So why, almost a quarter of a century later, are gender-neutral fragrances more relevant than ever?
I think it's the general loosening of be whoever you want to be. We're seeing at the Perfume Society is this massive rise in all these independent niche houses. And they really don't pigeonhole their fragrances for men or for women.
So what does the British public think?
I don't think I'd like to smell like petals or anything like that.
My masculinity is not as fragile as his, so I think it's absolutely fine.
No, I can't stand the idea because I think men should be men and women should be women.
With an abundance of scents to choose from, perhaps it is time more of us follow our noses instead of inherited tradition.
Deborah Weitzman reporting. Finally, if you follow the adage, drink beer before wine, you're fine. Well, new research says the way you mix your drinks has no bearing on what your hangover is like the next day. Researchers at a German university say the takeaway is there's no cure for hangover except to drink less. Happy Friday, folks. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.